I want to tell you about something I've used and I truly believe in. Replayer. It's a sideline camera built for youth sports. Just set it up, hit record, and it captures the entire game automatically. No chasing the ball, no holding your phone, just hands-free, stress-free recording. The in-game tagging is one of my favorite features. One tap, and you can mark a big goal, ankle-breaking moves, or a clutch tackle. Then pull those clips for later for review, highlights, or social media. And the live streaming's next level. A buddy of mine actually watched his son's game while flying cross country at 30,000 feet. That blew me away. If you're a parent or coach at the field every weekend, Replayer is a game changer. Head to replayer.com. That's Replayer.com. And I think you'll be amazed. Hey, soccer friends, I just want to give a shout out to our partner, TeamPlayer. They are changing the game on how you find the perfect soccer team for your player. Parents, this means no more endless social media scrolling to find information on teams. With TeamPlayer, everything you need to know is just a few clicks away. It's simple, straightforward, and lets you find the best coach and team for your player without any of the usual headaches. And coaches, we all know how tough it can be to get your team noticed, but when you subscribe to one of Team Player's team plans, you instantly get access to set up an online team profile that allows you to reach more potential players and showcase what your team is all about. It's super easy and lets players and parents see why your team could be the right fit for them. And if you sign up using the promo code PITCH, you can try any team plan free for 1 month. So whether you're managing a team or searching for one, come on over to www.teamplayer.us. That is TeamPlayer.us. And come give Team Player a look.
Family-owned Soccer Innovation is your go-to source for top-quality equipment. Whether you're a player, a supportive family member, or a dedicated coach, they have everything you need to elevate your game. For players, their innovative equipment are designed to boost your skills and performance on the pitch. From their agility cones to their portable goals, they have you covered. And family members, they offer durable equipment that's built to last because we know your support is critical to your player. Coaches, trust me, they can provide the equipment you need to run effective training sessions and shape the next generation of soccer players. Visit Soccer Innovations at soccerinnovations.com to start elevating your game with them.
And if you use the code PITCH, P-I-T-C-H, you can receive up to 10% off your next order.
Hello, this is Ian Babcock, the host of Chat by the Pitch. This week, I had the honor and privilege of interviewing Jennifer Giles of Eat for Sports. She's a food nutritionist with 24 plus years of experience. She's an athlete herself. Let's head to the pitch and start this conversation.
My name is Jennifer Giles, and I own a private practice called Eat for Sport. I have owned this for 24 years, and what I do is I work with athletes, coaches, and parents to motivate, inspire, and educate them on how to optimally fuel their bodies for the best performance possible. Really want to make all athletes the best athlete they can be by giving them a foundational understanding of how important nutrition is to performance.
Calories, roughly, or how do we gauge how many calories our players should be eating based on the activities they're doing?
Yeah, that's an interesting question because it's going to be based on a lot of factors, you know, obviously age, activity level, intensity level. So I really steer very far away from calories into more how they're feeling and how they're performing and their hunger cues and their growth patterns. Because as you know, youth athletes are going to grow at different rates. So you can't really come up with a cookie cutter number as well as you can really work with an athlete and take a deep dive into how during the day and are you listening to your hunger cues and how are you performing and tweaking things along the way. So I think calories is a slippery slope too, especially when you touch into the world of eating disordered or disordered eating patterns, which is very prevalent in athletes. So if we steer clear away from numbers, and calories, we can really educate athletes on foods and nutrients and protein and carbs and fat and vitamins and minerals. And that goes way further than calories ever will.
Thought about it, putting it that way. I mean, taking that little bit step farther. So as they're looking at their diet, where would you start with a player to look at the formation of their diet or routine that the parents can help them with starting at an older age, or even breaking it down to a younger age? Where would you advise them to start with their athlete?
I would really just take a look at the general composition of their diet. So what are they eating on a regular basis? What do they like to eat? What do they grab when they're in a rush? And take a look at the overarching nutrient composition of their diet. So are they grabbing junk food a lot? And are they having a lot of cravings? That could be a red flag for maybe not getting enough nutrients in their diet. Do they like fruits and vegetables? Do they only eat white bread? You know, like just different things. And then baby step changes is the best way to go about making tweaks in an athlete's diet. So for example, I brought up white bread. So if they're only like white bread, maybe we can come up with another type of bread to help change their taste buds. You know, maybe it's a light whole wheat, or maybe it's a white wheat, which is another grain that's similar to white bread, but it's actually a whole grain. And we can make small changes along the way to enhance their nutrient intake. That's the best way to go about it from the standpoint of just starting, because what we really want to do with athletes is make sure their diets are rich in nutrients. So if we look at, if are they eating enough whole foods versus processed foods? And you don't have to say, oh my goodness, my athlete has a terrible diet, we're eating fast foods all the time. That's too big of an issue. The best way to create long-term behavior change is just to take one little thing and tweak it to a little bit better place, and then make small changes along the way. That adds up to big changes at the end of the day, rather than changing everything at one time.
So you're taking that 1% change at a time, or 10% change of whatever it may be. So if it's, I'll use Mike, and Mike Lennon loves his chocolate chip cookies. That's his favorite thing. Like, he doesn't eat much candy. It is chocolate chip cookies, Chips Ahoy.
Yep, they're good. So,
they're delicious. And but that's his one thing that he wants for his bedtime snack. It's not, and he'll have a cheese stick with it later afterwards, because what kid doesn't love a cheese stick? Right. But we've actually reduced his number of Chips Ahoy cookies now, and trying to get him on more of a healthier track. Like, we make hard boiled eggs for him. Or we try to have them available. Is that the type of things that you're talking about, is switching out like his chocolate chip cookies at bedtime and switching it for eggs and a more healthier protein?
I actually love this example, because it's not so much about the chocolate chip cookies or the little treats that they like. It's more about, are they getting in an optimal amount of nutrients during the day? Because then we don't really need to worry about the chocolate chip cookie. But if he's eating chocolate chip cookies, but he's not getting in enough fiber, enough vitamin C, enough antioxidants, enough protein during the day, that may be the reason he's craving chocolate chip cookies at night. If he's eating a really good whole food, plenty of plants and lean proteins and good fats and vitamins and minerals and all the stuff that his body needs to be the best athlete he can be, but also maximize his growth stage that he's in, then I'm not so worried about the chocolate chip cookies.
Okay. Yeah, because we talk about it quite a bit in our house about diet and trying to get him to be eating healthier. Like, their go-to meal, it's like, oh, we have to go home and make dinner quickly because we have to go to X, Y, and Z. It's, oh, let's just stop at McDonald's. Like, no, we're not eating that. It's better for you to have a peanut butter and jelly sandwich with at home than eating McDonald's. That could be completely wrong, but and have a vegetable with it. It's like, we'll make chicken nuggets, and I'm now making them with broccoli instead of nothing else. So you talked about vegetables. And I'm going by what we read and what the food pyramid is and things I've read. It is, how many cups should a athlete need to be eating in a day? Is it based on, like you said earlier, on them eating what they think they need versus what they should be having in a ratio wise? Or is there an aspect that we can help these parents and athletes find an equal balance?
Yeah. So a general guideline I like to give my athletes, so for the recommendation for non-athletes, is 5 fruits and vegetables a day. I'm sure we've all heard that. There's lots of marketing campaigns around that. But because athletes are so active day in and day out, our cellular turnover is much higher. Therefore, we need a higher intake of vitamins and minerals and fiber and vitamins. And the best way to get vitamins, minerals, and fiber is through fruits and vegetables. So for athletes, and I don't want to scare you, but most athletes' needs are closer to 9 fruits and vegetables a day, which sounds scary, I know. But if we're doing things like salads or stir fries or smoothies, it's very easy to get that amount of fruits and vegetables a day. Maybe you won't get them in every day, but on most days, if we can shoot for that, then we're pretty confident that you're going to get enough vitamins and minerals and fiber that you need each day.
And my next train of thought is carbs. I've always taught was you carbo load days in advance, not the day before. How do you recommend it for soccer players?
There's an interesting trend of research around carbo loading. So, I've been studying this since the 90s. And in the 90s, it was really, really common. I'm also a runner. So really, really common to carbo load. But what we found was athletes were showing up at the beginning of their games or the beginning of their races, and they were feeling a little bit bloated because carbs absorb water, which is actually good because it helps with hydration. But it could actually slow down speed and power because we were overdoing the carbohydrate intake before really important games or matches or races. So along the past 30 years or so, the research has really shown that a better way to carbo load, and we still need carbohydrates, and you need a good deal of carbohydrates, especially if you're going into an A race or an A game or competition season or something like that. But your body doesn't like really stark changes. So the best way to go about it is to eat the way you regularly do and just increase your intake of carbs, proteins, and healthy fats a couple servings per meal in the handful of days leading up to a game or a tournament, because you need extra storage of carbohydrates. That's absolutely true. But if we overdo the carbohydrates and forget about the fats and the proteins, then what we're doing is we're spiking our blood sugar, and we're going to be left with fatigue and low blood sugar and maybe some cravings. And that's not an ideal place to show up at the beginning of a game. So your body needs a little bit more of all the nutrients and not create unbalance. I'll give you an example. If you're eating pretty balanced normally, and you're day in and day out going to practice and going to school and doing your thing, and then all of a sudden you just start eating, 500 grams of carbs, your body is going to bounce back a little bit. It's going to say, "Ooh, I don't like this. This is so different." Your body likes homeostasis. So if you, on the flip side, a much better way to handle it is to eat the same way you're eating day in and day out. So your body's really used to that. Your metabolism's really used to that. And then just increase your intake of everything a little bit, so your glycogen storage is maximized. And then you're not going to have a spike in blood sugar or a dip in blood sugar. You're going to stay pretty steady blood sugar wise and energy wise. And that's going to catapult your performance into that match that you're quote unquote carbo loading for. It really should be called nutrient loading versus carbo loading.
That makes more sense. So I have an 8-year-old, so my kid's favorite meals are pasta. Like, they love spaghetti. They love anything with a carb. My daughter loves anything with a carb in it. If it has a carb, she will eat it. If it's my son, he likes his spaghetti. It's like, that's his go-to meal. If we ask him if he could have any meal every night, that would be his meal to eat.
Yeah, it's good.
And so we make a meat sauce with it, and that's what he has when we have spaghetti. And so as a family, we have that. But what other meals would you suggest? Because I think it's a family change, not just for the player. Because if the family is all eating healthier, it tends to trickle down to the athletes long term. And that's my whole thing. It's how do you create good eating habits, not just why they're playing their sports, but if we're all eating healthy, we're all doing it feel better, but it also creates that positive image for our players. So is there advice you would give to parents to help them with this process? Because I feel like we are the example they follow, even though at a certain age, I feel like I'm not there yet, but I feel like parents might not feel that way, but they are. I mean, how yeah. eat is how we eat. I mean, I eat the same meals I grew up with today still.
Yeah. I mean, we are their little life coaches. So they are going to, just like we're teaching them good behaviors and good manners and, you should make your bed every day and clean up after yourself. nutrition is not dissimilar. It's the same. They are going to model their behaviors after the people they're around. So I absolutely agree with what you're saying. If parents are purchasing healthier items at the grocery store, making healthier meals, eating those healthier meals, and you're all doing it together, it's like a teamwork thing. It actually, you can use the same argument when you're talking about your soccer team. If everyone on your soccer team is eating, you know, chips and candy on the sideline, everyone's going to start to model that behavior. Say if the coaches bring not so great choices to practice, they're going to model that behavior. But if they're eating healthy foods, oranges, obviously water, electrolytes, bananas, peanut butter, those kind of things on the sidelines and fostering healthy choices, then the whole team is going to hop on board. So yes, children in general are going to model adults' behavior. So that should hold true, whether it's in your family setting or whether it's in the team setting. So I totally agree with that. But to get back to your initial question about pasta and healthy meals in general, every meal should contain all three of your macronutrients. So your macronutrients are carbs, proteins, and fats. That's that combination of foods that's going to provide your body with energy. So, but if we have all three of them, then we know we're going to get carbs, which is the first source of energy that your athlete is going to reach for when they start training, practicing, or running on the field, or doing drills, or headed to a game, or whatever. Protein, which is going to foster lean muscle mass development and also recovery. And then healthy fats, which is also involved in recovery, delivery of fat absorption of fat soluble vitamins, rather, brain health, and anti-inflammatory properties. All of these three macronutrients, the big ones, protein, fat, and carbs, they work together to provide your athlete with energy. So if we can have those at every single meal, that's how to maximize your nutrient intake before really every practice and every game. That's kind of the outline you should go under. So if you're having pasta before a game or a practice, I want you to add a healthy fat to that. So maybe having a salad with an olive oil based dressing, there's your healthy fat, your olive oil, and a protein. So if you're having pasta, maybe turkey meatballs or grilled salmon or chicken. So protein, fat, and carbs should be your overall outline to create every single meal.
Yeah, my mom always taught us you have a colorful meal at the dinner table. So I always felt like you had a colorful meal, you normally would have a little bit of everything. I mean, a lot more fruits and vegetables at your table then, because that's what brings the color.
Yes, fruits and vegetables. So that's interesting. So that's the next thing. So your macronutrients are your protein, fat, and carbs. Your micronutrients are all your fruits and vegetables and fiber. So yes, adding color to that meal is just going to enhance the nutrient content of that meal. And that makes kind of everything work better too.
Meals that we create as parents for our kids will help them on the field and the pitch. So now, as you have more kids, and like I only have two, and four nights a week, we are literally coming home. I am scrambling, getting them something made, and we're back out the door.
Mm-hmm.
We're coming home and then we're eating dinner after practice, which I'm not a big fan of because it's 7:30 at night and they need to be going to bed and not eating dinner. As a parent, what can we give our kids as a go-to grab or snack to go into practice? My go-to is a Clif Bar. I know it's not the healthiest because there's a lot of sugar in it, as my wife points out to me all the time. What is a good snack? I mean, that's just easy because they can just unwrap it and go. I mean, they sit in their seat in the back and they're good to go. Now, older kids might be able to do a little bit more complex stuff. So what is a good grab and go then for them to have?
Yeah, you bring up a couple good points. So I actually have four children too. They're all teenagers right now. And it's true. Their schedules are crazy. But I don't think that it's necessarily a bad thing to come home late and eat dinner because that's your recovery meal. So it's not, I think we're stuck in this kind of diet mentality. We're like, oh, we can't eat late at night. It's actually a good thing for an athlete if they're having an evening practice to come home and eat. And we will count that as your recovery meal. And that way, as long as it's in proper ratio, carbs, protein, and fat, and maybe even a little heavier on the protein at that time of night, because they will go to sleep and growth hormone is released when they're sleeping, and that will enhance recovery. So I kind of want to shift away from the mentality that we can't eat late at night because it's really dependent on their activity. If they're most active in the evening and that's their highest intensity workload, then you absolutely need to eat and have some recovery fuel afterwards. So don't feel guilty about eating dinner late at night. I come home sometimes with my teenagers at 10, 10:30 and feed them something because it's after their practice. So that's the first one thing I wanted to sneak in there. But yeah, so grab and go snacks are super important because you're right. You're coming home from school or doing their homework. Maybe they have a job and then they're coming home and just grab some. You have to grab something before practice or else they're going to hit a wall during practice and not maximize their time at practice. So you're on the right line with the Clif Bar. I actually like Clif Bars, and I wouldn't be scared about the sugar because if you're going into practice, those are carbs. Those are simple absorbing carbs that they're going to need, and that's going to enhance their performance during that practice. So Clif Bar I like because I actually like that company and all the ingredients that they use. So thumbs up on that one. Another, you know, other protein bars that are that have good ingredients are another good example, just as long as they have enough carbs. I think some kids grab a protein bar that's super high in protein and low in carbs. And then again, you're going to have that little dip in energy during practice. So maybe a great granola bar would be good. Even homemade granola with nuts and dried fruit, because you're getting protein and carbs together. Peanut butter and jelly sandwich, or I love peanut butter and banana sandwich with honey. You could even use a wrap to do that, roll it up and eat that in the car. That's super easy. Or even just a banana and peanut butter. You know, nothing has to be fancy. You can literally take a banana and just slap some peanut butter on it and eat that in the car on the way to practice. Protein smoothie is a good thing to do too. So break out your blender and have some frozen fruit, some milk, a scoop of protein powder, throw it in a cup, grab a straw, and you're done. That's easy. I also like telling kids to keep some chocolate milk boxes in their gym bag, because that's, you know, in a pinch, a chocolate milk will have quick absorbing carbohydrates, simple sugars, and protein. So there's your 2-for-1 snack that's going in. That's also good for a recovery snack, say after practice on the ride home. So those are some easy ideas.
It's a good one. Max, that's the hard one, I think, is finding the right snacks. Like, we're going into a tournament this weekend and we're talking about what we're going to be doing for food because it's 3 games in one day. I mean, he's only 8 and mm-hmm. It's just how this tournament's set up. So they have everyone plays all 3 games on Saturday, and then they go quarterfinals in the championship. The final is on Sunday. So they have 2 games on Sunday, possibly.
Okay.
Like, we're talking about what do you do in between, because there's a 4-hour sit, 3-hour sit between each one. And if you give them too much sugar, they're going to crash. Right. And if you give them something too heavy, they're going to be sluggish in the next game. And it's amazing how reactive they are so quickly. It's like, I think of myself as an adult, it's like, oh, it doesn't bother me as much, but they're younger and their body metabolizes at a higher frequency because I'm not super athletic, and I know that my son is. So how would you approach a parent or advise a parent to go into that?
Yeah. Tournaments are tricky because it is a constant flow of fuel that they need, and they need to regulate that homeostasis that I was talking about before. So, and that's very closely linked to your blood sugar regulation. So if we wake up in the morning and you said they have 3 games in a day.
Yeah.
And how many hours in between?
About 3 hours, 2 to 3 hours between.
2 to 3 hours. Okay. That's actually pretty good because you could eat something right after the first, say you eat breakfast, go into your first game. You should be really well fueled for that. Right after that first game should be that recovery snack. So again, and it could just be that combination of carbs and proteins would be great. I would minimize fat. Fat takes a little bit longer to digest. So that's something I would just have a little bit less of during a tournament day like that. That's something that will sit in your stomach, maybe slow you down. So you just don't want a lot of fat in your system on a day like that. But eating enough fat leading up to it would be smarter. And that kind of balances that out. But right after that first game, I would have a recovery. I call them mini meals, really. You don't want it to be a snack. You want it to be a little bit longer than a snack because you have 3 hours until your next game, but nothing like a huge meal because, again, it's going to slow your metabolism down a little bit. So have that recovery snack right after the first game. Then it'll be perfectly digested within 3 hours. You could even top that off maybe an hour before the next game with something like an applesauce or pretzels, quick absorbing carbohydrates, so that you can maintain that energy going into the second game. And then do the same thing after the second game. Have another recovery snack right after that second game so that it can be digested going into that third game. And if you need another top-off snack, That would be a good idea also. And the next thing would be to maintain hydration. So sip on water. And if it's hot or humid, or if you're an athlete that's a heavy sweater, you may need some electrolytes that, with your water so that you're absorbing water. But to keep a steady flow of fuel on a schedule, like I'm talking about, like before the game, after the game, top it off before the next game, after the game. That's the key. A lot of athletes, I think, just eat a big breakfast and then they don't really want to eat in between games because they're worried about their stomach not digesting things, and then they lose their energy. So if we can keep something steady in their systems throughout the whole day, then that's going to fuel them optimally for all those games.
And would you say that's the same kind of the same mentality they should take after we talked about practices? So it's like it's okay to eat after your later in the evening after a practice because they need that meal. Would you say the same thing's true then if they just have a game, keep the same mentality they have for practices and training, and do the same thing for like when they just have the regular games then?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah. Like I said, your body likes a consistent schedule. So if you can keep things pretty similar, whether it's a game or a practice, then your body knows how to perform optimally during games and practices. I mean, you want to perform the best you can, even if it's just a practice, because that's how you get better. So if your body really knows how to do that, then it's going to do that during a game also. And then that's how you can be the best athlete you can be.
Thank you. Now, since you have older kids, and you can, and this is your area of expertise. So we talked a lot about my kid, but players in general, looking at them. So as the kids progress, you said eat until to their comfort level. I feel like, do kids really truly know what their comfort level is when they're a teenager, or do they eat to eat because they're sitting around in between games or after practice or before practice and they're just bored? I mean, is it something that we can help them regulate, or is it something that they will eventually learn to do on their own? Because I know that as an adult, we tend to overeat sometimes. I mean, we're coming up to the most calorie day of the year coming up.
I know, right? 1 week to go. This is such a good question, and it's something I work with my athletes tremendously on, because I think right now, youth athletes, teenage athletes, this is when they learn the habits that they're going to carry on into their adulthood. Many of us as adults are overeating because we were told to finish your plate. You can't leave the table unless you finish your plate. You can't have dessert until you eat everything at dinner, right? And that's why, it's not the only reason why, but it's one of the reasons why that we have some issues overeating. If we can teach our children now to listen to their hunger cues, they can be so in tune with that. It amazes me. And once they learn that and they're in tune with that, they can control their intake so much better than they can if we are telling them what to do. So that's one of the first things I work with athletes on, because everything falls into place after they have that mind-body connection of, okay, I just ate something and this is going to hold me over for 3 to 4 hours and I feel pretty good, versus I ate really quick on the way to class and I'm starving after 45 minutes. That's the starting point to, okay, am I eating enough? Am I not eating enough? Am I fueling my body properly? Am I feeling good during the day, say at school, or am I feeling good during practice? Those are the questions I have athletes ask themselves. And then over a short period of time, they really end up regulating their intake perfectly because of that.
Nice. I mean, because that's the thing I'm thinking of. It's like, as an adult, I tend to overeat. So I'm just making sure like we can teach the players to...
Yeah. We're just not in tune. As adults, we're not as in tune with our hunger cues because we weren't taught it at their age. They're going to be wonderful adults because they're going to learn it now.
Awesome. Now, with their hunger cues, now I've read and participated in programs where they recommend drinking 8 ounces of water 30 minutes before you eat. Do you advise that type of stuff, or is that just...
I think that's that stems back to the diet mentality that has been around for so long. It's kind of filling you up on I'm not saying water's not important. Water is very, hydration is extremely important, but we don't necessarily need to fill our stomach up with water before we eat. In fact, that would actually create a problem for athletes because they probably would eat less, and then we're restricting calories or restricting fuel, and we don't want to do that too. I think hydrating, sipping on water throughout the whole day so that your body can absorb it efficiently is the best way to do that. And not play around with, let's fill up on water so we don't eat a lot. Okay. That's kind of going into restriction mode. And that's a very problematic area to be in for athletes. Athletes need to fuel their body efficiently with whole foods and nutrients that will provide, that will give them the energy they need to perform at their best.
Going down the same line, is there a, like with vitamins, you want to take certain vitamins together when you take like a, taking like a pill vitamin or a liquid vitamin. I was always taught you took calcium with, I can't remember the other vitamin. Like you take certain vitamins with each other because they tend to react and your body just doesn't shed them right away. Is there a way to help our players and athletes eat something that will help them absorb the nutrients they need better when they eat certain foods? Or is, at this age, it really doesn't matter until they're older?
Well, here's my answer for this, because you're right. There are certain nutrients that absorb better with other ones. There's a number of them. So, for example, fat-soluble vitamins, A, D, E, and K, those four vitamins will be absorbed more efficiently if you're eating them with a fat. And that's, you know, say olive oil-based dressing on a salad will help you absorb the nutrients in those vegetables. So that's a good example. If you're talking about supplemental vitamins, taking like a multivitamin, that's probably a little bit different because there's many more vitamins in that, so that some of them can conflict with others. So my best advice for that is at this age is to really educate and motivate student athletes, is what I call them, youth athletes, teenage athletes, to eat a variety of fruits and vegetables, a variety of macronutrients, protein, fat, and carbs in a proper amount to keep you satisfied and keep your performance at the best it possibly can be. And if we're doing that, the need for supplemental vitamins and minerals is minimal. You really don't need to take that unless you have a deficiency. And I don't see a ton of deficiency in this age group unless they're restricting food.
Gotcha. So that brings up the next question. It's like you hear today, like kids will not eat fruits or they will not eat vegetables. How do you cater around that then? To make sure they're getting the fiber, like, I mean, vegetables and fruits are your huge source of fiber and a lot of vitamins. How do you cater around that then? Because I'm looking at it as a parent that I have a kid that doesn't, that loves broccoli, and I have the other one that hates broccoli. And I know there's tons of vitamins in broccoli and it's good for them. And, but how do you work around those type of things other than trying to make them try 15 different vegetables? But some kids will never eat a single vegetable in their life. And it is what it is. And there's no way around it.
Yeah, that's definitely a tough one. You have picky eaters. And sometimes if you have a picky eater, it's definitely more of a challenge to get fruits and vegetables in. So I always start with focusing on the ones that they like. So find the vegetables that they do like, and then eat those regularly, because at least you're getting some vegetables and fiber in. And then kind of like what you were just saying, over time, our taste buds change. So as long as they can taste them, I think it takes like 11 to 15 times or something like that of tasting something to notice that you actually may like that food. And the other really great way to experiment with fruits and vegetables is to cook them different. So I used to hate broccoli because it was served to me steamed and mushy, and it just didn't smell good and it didn't taste good. Until I finally figured out that if I stir fried it in a pan with olive oil and salt and pepper, and it was still like a little crunchy, like al dente, I loved it. So a lot of a lot of this picky eaters, or I don't like certain vegetables, can come down to the fact that it's not prepared in a way that they like it. So to try different preparations, little kids might need to melt cheese on broccoli to like it, and that's okay. Or they might need to dip it in ketchup, you know what I mean? Like, and that's right. Okay too. So if you can come up with fun ways for them to try new vegetables and see if they like them and continue trying them over time, because our taste buds do change, that's the best way to go about it. And then you can do fun things. Like if they don't like certain fruits, throw them in a smoothie and they may like them because they're not going to taste them. Or throw spinach leaves in a smoothie. You don't taste spinach if it's in a smoothie. So smoothies are a good way to get around that too. And nowadays we have these air fryers. So I found that kids, if you air fry certain vegetables, cauliflower, for example, that's a vegetable not too many kids like, but if you air fry it, it brings out the sweetness, and many kids will love air fried cauliflower, but not, regular cooked or steamed cauliflower. So food preparation and keep trying. Those are my two best tips for picky eaters.
Now my question, now this is more for you. So do you have this type of information available on your website for people to go to?
I I do. I have a website. I actually have a free Facebook group for parents, coaches, and athletes so that we all kind of get this information and motivation together. That's on Facebook. That's called the Sports Nutrition Hub. So that's probably the best place to go for information. My website has some information, and I'm also on Instagram. I always put some fun tips and stuff on Instagram. But I do have, I also have a free download, which I think will be really helpful for your audience, is Meal and Snack Ideas for Optimal Performance for Athletes. And that's just a free download that you can get.
Awesome. Now, I'm just going through this process because I'm just thinking, like, I never thought about the air fryer. We have an air fryer, and I cook probably the same 15 things in it.
We're creatures of habit. We all do that.
Yes. We were talking, you talked about hydration a little bit earlier, and we live in Texas, and we go from 101 to 102 to the other extreme, where it is 43 right now, and we will have weather where it's below zero, below freezing. Yeah, I know you aren't supposed to play below freezing, but they still allow it. And so what would you advise for hydration then? Because we are in extreme, and I know that hydration plays a huge factor in energy level, it plays a huge factor in proper digestion of food. How would you advise? I know you mentioned sipping, but is there a way we can help these athletes and players, and you call them student athletes? Is that what you call them?
Student athletes, yeah.
How would you advise them or parents to help them keep on their hydration?
Yeah, hydration is so important. In some cases, it's more important than nutrition, to be honest. It just helps our heart rate, you know, our blood viscosity and our heart, the work that our heart has to do to make our, if we're dehydrated, your blood gets really thick, and your heart has to work harder to pump thick blood than thin blood. So that's really, in my mind, the most important reason to stay hydrated, and a really good motivator for athletes to realize that they need to hydrate properly. But in reality, there are different sweat rates. So when you're talking about 100, 101 degree weather, you're going to sweat a lot more than you are when it's 40 degrees or freezing, right? So your sweat rate. So the amount of fluid that you need is dependent on your sweat rate. So that's personal for everyone. There's some athletes that are heavy sweaters and some that are not. So you have to know that about yourself. In general, the rule of thumb is to drink half your body weight in ounces. So whatever you weigh in pounds, divide that in half, and that's the number of ounces you should be drinking per day. Now, that can, if you're not anywhere near that, then I would just say slowly increase that over time, because you don't want to just drink a ton of water one day, because it's not gonna be comfortable, and it actually may filter out the electrolytes in your blood. So again, your body doesn't like stark changes or like small changes over time. And then the electrolyte balance is the other factor. So there's water intake, and then there's electrolytes. You need electrolytes in your blood in order to absorb the water. Otherwise, it's going to pass right through you and it won't hydrate you optimally. The amount of electrolytes that you need is different based on every person also. So that's kind of a trial and error thing that I help athletes figure out. And it could be electrolytes that we're increasing through food sources. You know, your most important electrolytes are sodium, potassium, magnesium, and calcium. We can increase that just through food. If it's an athlete that's a super heavy sweater, we may need to supplement them with electrolytes, but that's something that I would do on an individual basis. Everybody's body is so different, so you really can't, you know, copy what your teammate's doing, because it might not be the right choice for you. That's something you have to dive into individually.
So there's all these bottled water now companies that provide electrolytes. Would you advise players to and parents to avoid them, because it might not be the right balance for them, because of, like you said, like everybody's different, which could give them an upset stomach or maybe decrease energy for the player or cause other underlining issues for them?
Yeah, I think the most important thing to recognize about those bottled electrolytes is there's just not enough electrolytes in there to make a difference. So if you like them, that's great. It's fine. They're much more expensive, but there's just not enough in there to help with absorption of fluid. I think it's a marketing thing, to be honest. If you're talking about like a supplemental electrolyte, like there's electrolyte tablets that you put in your water, there's salt pills, there's salt supplements that you just take or add to a drink. There's so many different kinds right now. that's going to be more clinically effective because it's going to have the right ratio of sodium, potassium, and calcium and magnesium. That's what we want. Those waters may have like a couple milligrams of sodium, maybe a little bit of potassium, but it's not going to be enough to make a difference in your hydration. So that's the deal with the bottled ones. But I would, if you're an athlete that struggles with hydration, that's, you know, losing speed or power along the way because you're sweating too much, then you're an athlete that probably needs to look at an electrolyte supplement. And it's not like you need to take these electrolyte supplements all the time. It's more likely you would need to take them when it's hot and humid, or, you know, over 90, or at a temperature where you feel like your sweat rate's increasing, and maybe back off on them in the winter when it's 40s and 50s. You could probably maintain your hydration through water and food when it's not, when you're not sweating so much, but only in the summertime.
So that brings me to like places that back east. I mean, you guys have the winter months and you guys play, I know that some areas are still playing outdoors right now and it's 30 degrees, 40 degrees outside.
Yeah.
I know from my experience, hydration's still just as important. It's just now you're battling hydration and energy because you're exerting, I feel like you're exerting more, burning more energy because your body's trying to stay warm. Then you're burning the water because it's going hand in hand with the water, the body burning the calories to stay warm. So how would you follow the same protocol to a degree if they're playing games as if they're playing in the summer for hydration then? So the days they are playing games, would you recommend taking more electrolytes in? I know people like drink pickle juice and all that fun stuff during games to restore electrolytes, but is that the right approach, or is it more just like you said, keep the even keel as much as possible year round?
Yeah, it's such a good question because, well, here I'm in the Northeast, and here while it does get cold and we do stay outside for a very long time in the cold and snow and all that kind of stuff, you can have athletes that are still sweating just as much because we're wearing more layers. That's one issue. But on the flip side, it's not as humid. So in the summer, it's very, very humid here. So we tend to have higher sweat rates, and then you would really need electrolyte supplementation. In the winter, it's not as humid. You might be sweating more, you might not. You could regulate that with food or things like pickle juice, which is a great option. But if you have an athlete that's still a super heavy sweater and losing a lot of electrolytes, even in the winter, then I would still continue electrolyte supplements in the winter. It also depends on how long a practice is or how intense a practice is. If it's just an easy kind of off day practice, you're not doing a ton of high intensity drills or sprints or anything like that, you may not need it on a day like that. But if you're doing a really super high intense practice or a game where you're in a lot of shifts, then I would say electrolytes would play an important role. So it also depends on the day and the type of practice that you're involved in.
Gotcha. Just because I hear a lot of kids are having more fracture, I'm hearing about more broken bones, maybe because I'm talking to more parents now, but I don't remember this many broken bones when I was a kid. Like, I don't remember kids breaking this many bones. I feel like that's a trigger to diets, because I feel like dairy is not as heavily pushed anymore. And I know that's part of marketing, but how would you advise families to keep track of the vitamins for their kids? Because we've been talking about nutrients and keeping track of it. Is there, as an adult, I know you can go get blood work done and have that type of stuff looked at on a regular basis, but is there a way to, just by looking at them, like what we could help them gauged, like for calcium and things like that, so they can actually have a healthy form of calcium? Because I grew up, I was one of six kids. We drank about 4 gallons of milk a week as a family, and advise families to help with calcium intake. Cause I feel like that's something that's missing in our diets, cause it's not as pushed as much. And maybe it's just a misclaimer by me looking at it.
Yeah. It's an excellent topic. Cause I think you're right. You know, these days we have all these nut milk alternatives, and there is to some degree a fear of milk. And I think it comes down to, you know, there was some study or whatnot, and it was by the Dairy Council that, I'm sorry, it was not by the Dairy Council. It was by the nut milk industry that dairy was inflammatory, and it's false. And I think people just believe it because they hear it on the news, and you know, there's so much on social media now. And so there was a lot of false information spread about milk. And, you know, whether you like milk or drink milk or not, that's not the issue. But I think the issue is what you're saying is we're not getting enough calcium in our diets anymore, mostly because of that. But there are plenty of other options to get that. You know, there's yogurt, there's Greek yogurt, there's cheese, there's fortified nut milk alternatives. You know, there's flax milk that's fortified with calcium. So I think we need to look for those labels first of all, making sure that if you're not drinking a good source of calcium fortified milk, then you're getting it in other areas. Milk's just a really easy way to ingest it. So like you did as a child, you're drinking milk, so you're already guaranteed that you're getting enough calcium. Now we just have to work a little bit harder to make sure we're getting it in other areas if we're not drinking milk. But believe it or not, the biggest issue when it comes to bones, breaking bones, is energy availability. And that's, so while there's definitely an argument about a decrease in milk consumption, overall, if we're not getting enough nutrients that we need, your bones are going to start to weaken. So it's a lot of different nutrients. It's protein, it's vitamin K. There's just a lot of factors to bone health. And that could be, I'm not saying that it is, I'm sure there's studies out there that I'm not aware of, but that's one of, in my mind, one of the primary causes of weak bones and bone breaks is just we're not eating enough fuel. And whether that's because we're eating on the go and we're not getting enough nutrients and we're not balancing our diets appropriately, that could be one. Another is just restriction in general. I see there's a lot of stress fractures in the sports world right now just because we're just not getting enough fuel in. And that's, you know, a great example of how important nutrition is. If we're not mindful of it and not educated enough on it, then if we're missing some things here and there, ultimately it is going to lead to a health issue. And one of those very common health issues is broken bones.
Wow. I never knew that. I mean, that's a very, I always associate it with your vitamin intake, not so much your fuel level of bone breakage. Looking at more older kids, you tend to see them. I mean, I was this way. Soda. It was a quick form of sugar and to go to baseball practice or whatever sport I was playing at the time, or I'm going to go grab a Powerade. I know they aren't the greatest because they're full of sugar, but what advice can we give our student athletes on proper drinks? Is it, you talked about smoothies, is it better to push them more towards smoothies or is it better to push them another direction?
Are you talking primarily before practice?
Like on before the way to practice? Before practice, yeah. I mean, if we can teach our kids to have a smoothie instead of a candy bar for a snack, I think we're in the right direction, but.
Yeah, no, I totally agree. I mean, yeah, we always want to go to Whole Foods first because they're going to provide your body with the nutrients that your body can use, absorb, and assimilate and turn into energy. So that's kind of the gold standard. Now, in today's world, like we said, we're running around doing a million different things. Sometimes we didn't go grocery shopping, so we don't have the stuff in our house. You know what I mean? Like there's always, so we have to stop and get convenient stuff often, and that's okay too. But now we're just left with, let's make the best decision where we are. And it's so much easier now than it was, you know, say 20 years ago, because there's so many healthy options that are out there now that didn't exist, which is really good. We just need to know how to pick them because there's still candy bars out there too. So when it comes to drinks, I would say, you know, water is always best. And if you need an electrolyte supplement, that can help. But also know that you can get electrolytes in food. So if you're stopping to get something on the way to practice, yeah, a smoothie is going to be a really good option because it's whole foods and it's going to be a combination of protein, carbohydrates, fiber, and micronutrients. So that's going to be the best way to go. But if you're stopping, say, at a deli on the way, you know, maybe a chocolate milk would be good. Sports drinks, like you said, not the greatest option. I think there's, you know, some athletes, there's a time and place for them. Say if it's hot and humid and you're on the field and you're feeling lightheaded, then maybe you do need a quick absorbing carbohydrate and that could be the only option around. And then, you know, it's not going to kill you, but if it's something you're leaning on every day before practice, it's definitely not the best option. But always having something on hand, you know, like nuts and dried fruit or a Clif bar or banana and peanut butter, those kind of whole food options on the run, you could pack easily, or you could find them on the way to practice at a quick stop somewhere.
Gotcha. I mean, that works. As we have older athletes, especially, I guess, boys, building muscle and doing it healthy, is it better to go more the natural route, or is there protein powders, or is it better just, like I said, just go the natural route and eat more high energy protein, like beef, like a dried meat or something along that line, versus the powder substances that are out there?
Yeah, I love this because I think it's really an interesting question that everybody has about, and it's not only male athletes, female athletes really want to gain lean protein too, lean muscle mass too, rather. The best way to build lean muscle mass, whether you're male or female, is to eat protein consistently throughout the whole day. And you really, you know, maybe 20, I know this is a range, but 20 to 40 grams of protein at each meal and snack is going to be the way where you're really going to boost muscle protein synthesis. So that's very hard for teenagers to do because they're at school, and where are you going to get 40 grams of protein when you're, you know, in class? So in that instance, I would say a protein powder is good. I never like to use protein powder as a crutch, you know, maybe not use it every day, but if you're using it a couple of times a week, I think it's a really good way to get an extra 20 to 40 grams of protein in where you wouldn't otherwise. So obviously natural sources of protein are always going to be best. But if you're going to use a supplemental protein powder, it can be healthy. But the one caveat is it has to be a high quality protein powder.
So that.
So that your body can absorb it. Yeah. There's so many just poor formulations of protein powders out there that you're going to spend a lot of money on. You're going to use it in your smoothie or in a shaker bottle or whatever, and you're just not going to absorb much of it at all. So the best protein powder to get is 100% whey protein isolate. That's what you want, and read the label and make sure there's no other ingredients in it.
That answers my question, because a lot of them, whey is from dairy, and there is also from, what's this? Is it soy? That's the other one I hear about. Is soy is the other one I hear a lot about, and there's other side effects from that.
Soy protein powders tends to be really processed. If you're going to use soy as a protein source, I'd rather use like tofu or tempeh or edamame. That's a more natural source of soy protein. And you could throw tofu in a blender just as easily as you could do a powder. So that's, if you're going soy, which is a great source of protein, I would use a natural or more natural source of soy. If you're plant-based and want to stay away from whey, then I would use pea protein. That's your best option in terms of a plant-based protein powder.
Learned something new. New wrinkle in the brain.
Yep.
Any advice, as I'm more speaking as a parent, would you give us as parents to help our student athletes to be successful long term? Other besides being their example and but to help them guide them, or tricks we can help them better eaters, better, so it helps their performance and help them understand what they're putting in really does affect what they're doing outside of just, I mean, not even practice. I mean, a kid gets tired, their attitude changes. I mean, it's, how can we help them understand what they're putting in truly does affect every motion, part of their day?
Yeah, I love this, because I also think, you know, we put so much time and energy into our child athletes and, you know, driving them everywhere, taking them to tournaments, practicing day in and day out, cooking for them, blah, 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 everything that goes into it. And then eventually it ends. I mean, it ends for everyone, right? Even if you go pro, it still ends. I can't tell you the amount of 40 or 50 year old clients that I have come into my office and say, you know, I was a D1 athlete. And then once I left college, I never knew how to eat. So I ended up with high blood pressure and high cholesterol and 40 pounds overweight and blah, blah, blah. And I think, wow, we're doing such a disservice to our kids if we don't educate them on how important nutrition is, not only for their sport now, but for their health in general, so that they can be healthy, active humans forever, even after their sport ends. I even have some pro hockey players I've worked with before, and they said, yeah, we could eat whatever we wanted when we were athletes, but we don't know how to eat now. And so it's affecting our health forever. So the one thing I would say to answer your question is just keep making that connection between how you're eating and how you feel. And most of the time, a child will make that connection, or a teenager will make that connection. They'll say, you know, I had a candy bar before practice and I felt good for 15 minutes. And then I just wanted to take a nap and leave early or something like that. If they make that connection, then that's going to be the motivator for them to make a healthier choice before that practice. And then that's going to snowball into 10 years down the road when they're, you know, at a job, sitting at a desk and, you know, maybe getting a little sleepy at 3 p.m. and maybe they'll have a salad instead of a candy bar. And that's going to give them lifelong tools to make them the healthiest version of themselves, whether they're a competitive athlete or whether they're an adult recreational athlete down the road.
Awesome. So now this is more family oriented, because I feel like as a family, our nutrition is affected. So all over the world, everyone eats differently. Like, and if you go to more Europe, they have later meals and they eat longer. They take time to eat. Here in the United States, we tend to eat the same times of days and that's it. Mm-hmm. And we eat quickly. So what advice would you advise families when they start sitting down as families? Because that's a big thing, I feel. Or even if it's on the go, do you recommend them to take so many bites and count, or just to slow down to eat? Because I know that the more we process the food naturally through our mouth and let it digest in our body, the better off we are, and we tend not to overeat. What advice, or how can you give us a perspective on what we can do to encourage longer eating time or better eating habits throughout the day versus just the three times a day that we are taught to do here in the States?
Yeah, I love this question. And it's so difficult to do because of our lifestyle culturally, we're always like eating and running, right? We're always on the go. Even, you know, I can't even think of a meal where we're not eating and rushing. So yes, I mean, I think it comes down to similar to what you're saying, like, let's just take note of what we're eating. And I always tune into, you know, food's supposed to be enjoyable. And I think this can help us slow down a little bit, is just sit down and tune into what we're eating and how much we enjoy it. And then that can kind of morph into, oh, I have all these nutrients on my plate that are going to make me healthier and make me a better athlete and build more lean muscle mass. And it's just all that making the connection. And there's also other tips, like shut your cell phones off and let's turn all the screens off and, you know, have a conversation. Even if it's breakfast in the morning when everybody's going in a different direction, if everybody could just sit down at the table, it doesn't have to be for 45 minutes because we don't have 45 minutes, but maybe if it's for 8 minutes and just say, okay, what's going on with your day today? And make it more of a community time and a communication time instead of just like grabbing something and going as much as you can. We're not going to be able to do this all the time because we're just too busy. But if we could do it a couple times a week and just do a reset, it may actually help everybody tune into what they're eating a little bit more and slow down a little bit more. I think that's a really important point that you bring up.
Yeah, I feel like if I don't slow down and eat, I tend to overeat. I watch my kids eat and we'll be at the dining room table for an hour if we have time, because I think they're just procrastinating eating. But at the same time, like you said, I think they're more in tune to how their body is feeling and eating than we are as adults.
Yeah. Yep. For sure.
I know that my daughter at her daycare, they eat all day long. And then she comes home and eats maybe half of her dinner or a third of her dinner. And we've realized with our son, who went to the same daycare, is that they eat all day. So I know that they're being fed. It's not that he's not wanting to eat dinner. It is, he actually is full. And it goes back to that, how we grew up is you clean your plate. And
right, right. And yeah, kids, it's tricky because you're right. If they're kind of snacking all day long and they're filling up on things like goldfish or cookies or whatever they're snacking on, then you're right. Then they're not going to be hungry when they get home. And when you look at their whole day of nutrient intake, they probably didn't hit their marks on vegetables or fiber or micronutrients or protein. So I think that's a super important thing to notice too, is not only do we have to be mindful of how much we're eating and how fast we're eating, but actually what we're eating, and not just at that meal, but at the whole, you know, over the whole day. There's plenty of instances where, you know, I might not get a fruit or a vegetable for breakfast, but I have to be like, okay, I got to make that up during lunch or during my afternoon snack, or just to balance it out. So to have an awareness of that is a really big deal.
That being said, I mean, my kids get, or at least I know my daughter gets, I'm jealous of half the food she eats at her school. Like, they have hummus with pita bread and,
oh wow.
And yes. And the school's a very good school when it comes to their eating habits. And it's like, they don't eat a lot of refined foods, I guess, or processed food.
Mm-hmm.
It's more cooked there. And why, like, that's what I'm going back to. It's like, her eating habits at dinner are not the same as my son's now, because he's in school and he only gets small moments to eat throughout the day. He has snack in the morning, he has his lunch. Then we're normally grabbing something, depending on the day of the week. It's either we're coming home or having dinner, or he's grabbing a Clif bar and going to a training session. What would you advise parents to send to their kids to school then? I mean, if we're going back to, because we're always on the go and kids can't always eat all day. And we talked about the protein to gain lean muscles, but any age group, they need to have snack and have that energy level. What's a good snack? Like, my son loves good chewy bars, which are high sugar, but he eats them, and it's something we don't have to fight him with, and it doesn't have to be refrigerated.
Right. You mean like fruit bars?
Yeah, they're the chewy granola bars.
Oh yeah, yeah. I would just say that, because protein is kind of king here, especially at this age group, is to sneak a protein in there too. So if he likes those high carbohydrate bars, that's great. He's going to need the carbohydrate and even need a little sugar during the school day, but we want to balance that off with protein. So whether it's pack a Greek yogurt or maybe like a turkey jerky in there, just to balance that absorption of sugar. That's gotcha. A good trick.
Because that's the hard thing. It's because once we send them off to school, it doesn't matter what age is. I don't know what schools are like today, because my school, I could eat all day long and teachers wouldn't complain, as long as it wasn't distracting.
Right, right.
Now, kids aren't allowed to bring a lot of stuff into the school to eat throughout the day. And when we have a chance, you're advising them just to find those moments to eat the high, depending on what they're wanting out of it, obviously. But snack throughout the day as much as possible.
It's going to be a timing thing. So it'll when they eat breakfast, you want to have a morning snack. Then you want to sit down for lunch. You want to have an afternoon snack before their after school practice. That's kind of your pre-fueling for your practice most of the times. And it all depends on what time your practice is too. But yeah, you want to keep that constant flow of fuel during your most energetic time of the day. So we want to fuel you. A lot of kids fall into this category where they eat breakfast rushing out the door. They don't eat all day. They might skip lunch because they have classes or they're not hungry or whatever. And then they show up at practice extremely underfueled. So if we could just train them to eat during the day, and you're right, schools are tricky because some schools let you bring snacks, some schools don't. some school lunches are great, some are not. So you may have to pack a lunch for your child or have them pack it for themselves and pack 2 to 3 snacks that are balanced. So it does take some preparation. It takes some work. It takes some knowledge, but the payoff is huge. And I can't tell you how many times I've counseled athletes just to, you know, maybe eat a quick granola bar in the hallway because their teachers don't allow food in the room. So to find little ways just to make it work like that, even if it has to be in walking in between classes and it's not an ideal, you're not sitting down and slowing down your eating, but it's still an important thing to plan throughout your whole day.
Awesome. And more for you and your side of things. So you have your Instagram, you have your Facebook page. So you post recipes and fun stuff on there for parents to find and that are easy to do, or is there some of them, is it meal prepping, or what do you have on those sites?
It's all of the above. My love is to make everything easy. You know, every once in a while I'll do something that's a little more complicated, but really my primary kind of thought process is just to make it easier for everybody. I really want everybody to know that fueling themselves and meal prepping and cooking for athletes can be easy. We don't have to overcomplicate things. So that's mostly what I do, especially on Instagram and especially in my Facebook group too. Just make it easy. Nothing's fancy. Nothing's time consuming unless you want it to be.
Right. Okay. And can you give me a rundown of one more time of all the places that we can find your information at and give us a little bit of information of what you do offer for if someone's looking for the virtual coaching side of things?
Sure. Yeah. So I offer a program for athletes and I work with them to make them the best athlete they can be through nutrition. So that's the virtual program that I offer. And I do it. It's an individual program. And it's something that I work with goal setting based on what goals you want to achieve and literally to make you the best, fastest, strongest athlete that you can possibly be. That's the program that I have created based on the past 24 years in practice. And I really hold nothing back. I give athletes every single tool that I have learned, not only as an athlete myself, but as a parent of an athlete and a sports nutritionist. So I feel pretty confident that it's, you know, the gold standard in sports nutrition programs. But I also have plenty of areas where I'm available. On Instagram, for example, it's at Jen Giles Eat for Sport. I'm also on TikTok at that same name. And I do have a free Facebook group called the Sports Nutrition Hub, which is for athletes, coaches, and parents, where I, you know, motivate and inspire and answer any questions about nutrition for athletes.
Awesome. I thank you for your time. On the last note, what would be the best advice you could give parents on how they can help their athletes? And athletes, if they're listening, what advice they can listen from this, take from this?
I think the best advice I could offer is to switch your mindset around the fact that nutrition is, you know, eating like a bird or restricting certain nutrients. And if you have a mindset that nutrition is going to empower you to be a better athlete, then you'll be much more successful making nutritional changes and behavior changes because you're going to see that payoff. You have to believe that nutrition is going to make you a better, stronger, faster athlete. And then it really, really will. And you'll take the steps to make that happen.
Awesome. And personally, this is for me, what was the greatest influence for you to change, to go down this avenue? Everyone has that role model that influenced them the most to make a change from within sports or like your specialty of food nutrition. Who was that person for you?
Such a great question. And it's going to sound so corny, but it is actually myself. I found myself as a runner, as I was a high school athlete, but never really made the connection between nutrition and performance. So I never took my high school sports to the next level that I knew I could. I knew there was a missing link. So I became a runner after high school. And again, I was like, I know I can be faster. I know I can do more races. I know I have this potential. I wonder if I changed something in my diet, would that help? And so I did. I started making small changes. And then all of a sudden my running career just took, you know, I took it to levels I never thought I could. And I made that connection. If I had never made those nutritional changes, then I don't think that would have ever happened. Plus the fact that it just made me feel better right away. So that initially was the motivation to keep making more changes. And that's how I know that nutrition is the answer for all athletes.
Awesome. Thank you so much for your time. And I really appreciate this. It means a lot. And I hope that whoever's listening to this will get something out of it. So
thanks for having me. This was super fun.
Thank you.
Hello, and thank you for listening to Chat by the Pitch this week. Jennifer introduced so many great ideas and topics that needs more conversation. And maybe you guys have more questions. Maybe we can have her back again. As we go through this process of listening to what she has to say and remembering what she has to say, remember, we are the role models for our student athletes. We need to take time for them to understand what they're eating. And maybe if they're old enough, they can listen to this and educate themselves some. As we go through this process of digesting what she has to say, take time to go to her Instagram and her Facebook group, and last but not least, her website Her website offers some great information and also has a download to teach you some more. If you take time every week to talk about your nutrition with your athletes, we might be able to help them go to the next level as parents and families and friends. Thank you once again. We'll see you by the pitch.